This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's your boy, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire. Tuesday, August 10th. It was kind of a slow Monday in sports, but I will point this out right off the jump, and I'm sure you guys saw it on my Instagram. I opened with a bit of a nine-minute tangent just on random stuff. And, you know, Rob G's got the traditional radio background. And as a producer, listen, he knows best, right? And he's not a fan of these nine-minute tangents. And the people have spoken. They kind of sort of like tangents. But I don't have a nine-minute ramble today. I did see this. This is super random. I did not even tell Rob I was going to open with this. It's probably 1 minute. Okay, Rob, have you seen the movie Shooter with Mark Wahlberg?
No, I have not.
Oh, stop it. You've seen Shooter with Mark Wahlberg.
I have not.
Come on. It's on cable every weekend. No. Are you serious?
I swear I have not seen it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So basically, there's a scene. You can do a spoiler alert on a movie that's over 6 years old, I believe. That's the statute of limitations. So there's a scene where Mark Wahlberg has to like go in this house to kill like this bad guy and then get out. And it's like a trap, and there's 50 guys fighting Mark Wahlberg, okay? And he escapes. But he's like a special forces type guy. And, you know, my brother and I are really into the end of days stuff, so we're always texting about this. So Shooter was on TV yesterday, and I text him, what percentage chance could Mark Wahlberg get out of that house? I'll give it 1%. If that scenario played out 100 times, one time he could probably escape. He had one guy in the bushes like hiding to help him. And then I asked my brother, who was in a fraternity with a dude who was like, I don't know if he was the SEAL Team 6 or Navy SEAL or Delta or whatever he was. But I was like, you got to text this guy and ask him because he's an expert. And my brother basically was like, come on, are you serious? Do you really want me to ask this guy? And like, I'm not kidding, guys. I have these weird affinity for movies. For instance, 8 Mile came on yesterday. First thing I did, where in the movie is it? Okay, if it's in the final 30 minutes, I'm not changing the channel. The wrap-off is amazing stuff. And like, I have these weird affinity for movies. I really like Shooter. The girl in it, I'm spacing on her name now. She is related to the Pittsburgh Steelers owner family. Kate Mara. Big fan of Kate Mara's work. But the one little pop culture thing I want to get off my chest before Rob yells at me via text. Is the show Ted Lasso. I told you guys I had started Apple TV, my free subscription. Obviously, I will cancel it as soon as the prescription's up. So I started watching Ted Lasso, and I had heard good things. Folks, if you like The Office with Steve Carell, you're going to love Ted Lasso. Because I feel like they're similar, very similar characters. Jason Sudeikis. Rob G., are you a fan of his work?
Of course.
I mean, okay, favorite Jason Sudeikis movie?
Oh.
Without looking on IMDb.
I really like him in Horrible Bosses.
Horrible Bosses is up there. I have a sleeper. It's called Sleeping with Other People. Jason
Never
Sudeikis.
Seen it.
Don't watch it around your wife. Alison Brie, who you will instantly have a crush on and, you know, want to be a fan of her on Instagram or whatever after you see it. Sudeikis is unbelievably funny in that. And she is just, you know, very likable. Let's just put it that way. Once I start watching Ted Lasso, I end up reading about these guys because I'm not an SNL viewer. So I didn't watch him on SNL. I'm not familiar. Other people have known this guy for 15 years watching him. I'm just reading about him. He played basketball in community college. I mean, Rob, if I can get him into our pickup game out here in the South Bay, that would be a major coup.
And then he'd give you buckets.
He would probably give me buckets. He's a little younger than me. I'm a good defender. I'm just gonna say it. All right. Speaking of basketball, it is a football week, but I wanted to open with the Luka Doncic contract. And I know you guys think I've been ball washing Luka for about a year on this podcast now. I'll say this: last week on Undisputed, I had some fiery takes that I didn't think were that hot and spicy. And they really got under the skin of the Undisputed fan base. You know, I totally had forgotten that Skip is a big Clippers guy. So when I'm gassing up the Lakers, all these people love me or hate me. More hatred from the Undisputed social media fan base. And then I went out and said Luka's the best player in the NBA. And I get it. A lot of you guys disagree with that. And that's fine. I've called him an early stock you want to buy. Buy and hold. Keep buying. Buy any dips that there are. And Luka got... basically, is it the biggest contract for a rookie because he'd already been all NBA twice? Luka got paid, and like the entire Mavs front office flew to Slovenia to present him with this. And today he's going to announce, you know, in front of the press. I mean, Rob, first of all, do you have any pushback against Luka getting all of the money?
Not at all. I think if there's anybody who's deserving of that kind of payday, it's going to be him. I'd rather give Luka Doncic $200 million than 32-year-old Steph Curry. That's nothing against Steph Curry, but what is it? Luka's 22? So, I mean...
22 years old.
Yeah, I'd give him all the money if I could. He's going to end his career upwards around $1 billion in salary if he plays his cards right. It's going to be
basically
wild.
Yeah, basically the numbers say he is on the very short list, like the top five players ever by the age of 22. And LeBron is in that group, by the way. And like, I know you guys didn't care about the Olympics and we barely talked about it on the podcast. I'm just going to point out, the France team that pushed USA and covered the spread in the gold medal game, in the semifinal, Luka had 18 assists and one turnover. 18 assists and one turnover against France. And they were like, Spain threw a box and one at Luka. It's basically, hey man, we got to stop him even though he's playing with a bunch of plumbers. And they just like couldn't. And France got lucky. This guy drove for the Luka drew Rudy Gobert out of the paint wisely. And then some dude drove in for a layup and Batum squatted it off the backboard. But Luka also had only the third triple double in the history of the Olympics. LeBron had one and then some Russian dude in the 70s. It's crazy because I have all this information on Luka from when I did Undisputed last week. And I start going through it. I'm like, who's better than this guy? Even in the article, Rob, I don't know if you read the article when, I guess Woj broke the news or whatever. And in his article, it really says glowingly that Luka could be the face of the NBA. And I found that interesting. I don't know if you read that. But, like, it didn't mention Giannis, who all these people who, like, Giannis won the title, won the finals MVP, he was amazing in game six. I got it. People are upset that Giannis is not being pegged as the face of the NBA, and Luka could be, or Zion could be. I just want to remind guys, everybody was thrilled with KD's series against the Bucks, right? KD was amazing. 35, 10, and 5. I just want you guys to know, Luka Doncic at 22 against two of the best wing defenders in the league, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Basically, the Clippers have two of the best wing defenders in basketball. Luka averaged 35, 10, and 7. Shot 49%, same as KD in that series against the Bucks. 40% from three, better than KD. The line is what dragged him down. He was abysmal, 52%. But in game 7, on the road, Luka just 46 points on Kawhi. I mean, the guy's unbelievable. He's unstoppable. I know he looks like you could defend it because he's kind of in slow motion. He's just amazing. Rob, I'm not going overboard here when I say I totally can envision a scenario where if the Mavs happen to not draw the Clippers for the third year in a row or happen to not draw the Lakers, I can see them going to the conference finals. That would not surprise me at all. I don't even know who else they're going to add. Goran Dragic apparently is going to get moved off Toronto. Is that where he was traded? Yeah, I think. Yeah, he was traded in the Lowry deal. There's a lot of talk that Dragic would surface with his buddy Luka in Dallas. I don't know if Toronto would want to facilitate that. But I'm just saying right now, like the Dallas, there's a reason Luka was favored to win the MVP before last season started. Favored. Now he had COVID. I think he got COVID or he was in protocols and he missed some time and it never really happened for him because the Mavs couldn't do shit without him. But I don't know, Rob. I'm all in on Luka Doncic. I know I've made that very clear on this podcast. Yeah,
understatement of the year.
But it's just one of these, like, how is everybody not seeing what's blatantly obvious? And really, if you say he hasn't won a playoff series, you're not doing it right.
Right. Well, a couple of things here. Number one, the whole face of the league, you know, the Giannis angle of it. A big part of it is that it's, in my opinion, at least nowadays, it's almost impossible for a big man to be the face of the NBA. The way the game is played, yeah, the way kids emulate the game, you're never saying, oh, I can't wait to, you know, get in the paint and dunk like Giannis. Like, no, you want to shoot like Steph Curry. You want to handle like Kyrie Irving. You want to be that kind of, and Giannis is very, very good. I think he has a case to be the best player in the NBA, but his game is not visually stimulating in the same way that Lucas is.
And that's, I think, what James Harden was getting at, right? Where yes. it's like he has no skill. He can do three dribbles from midcourt and dunk the ball.
Well, it takes a level of skill to be, the body control is something that not a lot of big guys have that he can do. But, you know, Luka is on a different level because not only is he good, but he looks good when he's doing it. And I also think that's true. Something that people appreciate. Let me just say this. This might be a little bit of cold water on your whole theory about the Mavs going to the Western Conference Final next year. I'm very, very concerned that we could have a LeBron James 2.0 in Cleveland situation happening with Luka. Because wait, I looked
hold
at
that. Hold on. LeBron James 2.0 in Cleveland. First time around?
Yes.
When he was super young and they were like, oh, we'll get you help. And they got him like Antoine Jameson and
exactly.
Mo Williams. Okay.
Exactly. All right, continue. So I've looked at their salary cap going forward. Now, this is all imperfect because we still don't have like the final numbers on Hardaway, the final numbers on Bullock, things like that. But based on a quick viewing, and this is all courtesy of SpotTrack, the Mavs won't really have any cap space to do anything until the summer of 2024. That's assuming they don't make any other deals to add salary, which you know that they're going to. And this is where they're in a little bit of a conundrum. When you have a player as good as Luka Doncic, just like the Cavs are as good as LeBron James, you understand that every single year you are a contender. So you start jeopardizing your future because you want to win now. Because you know, like, hey, this guy's ability to win is now. We're not building for the future. He's good enough to win right now. What Cleveland did is they brought in, like you said, Anton Jameson. They brought in a broken down Shaq. They paid for guys who didn't make sense for that system or for that team. And it helped them in the short term, but in the long term, it cost them cap space. It cost them draft pick assets, things of that sort. Or even if they use draft picks at all, because they're in a win now mode, so they're trading in their picks to, you know, to get some of these players. Dallas, because primarily of the Kristaps Porzingis albatross of a deal, they're not going to have any cap space until the summer of 2024. At that point, Luka's only 2 years away from an opt-out.
Okay, hold up. Let me just get a quick 20-second timeout.
Sure.
So are you looking at the Hoops Hype salaries or SportTrack?
SpotTrack and Spot Basketball Track. Okay. Reference. I have them okay. both.
So Porzingis has two more years left at 64, and then the player option, which he obviously will take.
Correct.
$36 million.
Yep.
They have Dwight Powell for two at 22. He's a good defender. Maxi Kleber, solid, $17 million over two. I don't see any more onerous deals on there.
Well, you got Tim Hardaway Jr., who they just signed.
That one hasn't been updated on
this. Okay, Reggie Bullock has been updated. So
he's not a bad like shooter.
Right. So going into 2024, and again, the cap's going to go up, so they're going to have some space. But currently as constructed, just with Luka, Porzingis, Hardaway Jr., and we're assuming that Reggie Bullock's on there, even if it is a non-guaranteed deal, which they can get out of. But let's say that they keep it. They're at over $100 million with four guys. That is not enough space to get another max contract in there. So you either got to find a taker for Kristaps Porzingis, which not going to say that a contract is immovable, but you're going to have to attach a lot of picks to get out of it.
And now they gave away a pick to get
just to get him.
That just happened in the past draft, right?
Yes, that just okay. conveyed.
So they have their number one going forward for the next 2 years.
Right.
Okay.
So the problem, though, is like I said before, you're in his catch-22 with Luka, where he's so good, where you know you want to win now, that you risk losing that cap space for 2024, 2025, because you're trying to capitalize on this window. And if you don't hit on those picks, and history says Dallas has a really bad record when it comes to getting free agents, either they can't get guys to show up or they overpay. And now you're in this awkward situation where you get to 2024, Luka only's got 2 years left on his deal for the opt-out, and you're nowhere further than where you were when you started.
All right, let me counter to that. So, yes, the Cavs butchered it with LeBron. But a glass-half-full kind of guy that I am, Rob G, I would say, hey, look at the Bucks. They had the best record in the league with Giannis and Middleton and Bledsoe for 2 years. And everybody was like, ooh, they're done. They're screwed. Oh, wait a minute. They were able to grab Jrue Holiday, for, I think it cost him 2 or 3 picks, right? And Bledsoe. And ultimately, Drew Holiday was a massive difference for them in the playoffs. And by the way, I'll just say Drew Holiday, if you missed Monday's pod, his game in the Olympics was outstanding. He looks like a beast. He was huge. In game 5 in Phoenix, the one they needed, he had 27-14. And he had been garbage for the first 4 games, especially the first 2 when they were down 0-2. But like, I don't. Would you call is Drew Holiday a star? Because like, it's tough like to define superstar versus star. Does it even matter? Like, bottom line is they had Giannis, they had Middleton, who was a 2/3, and they bring on Drew Holiday, and boom, they have a championship. Now we can argue, yeah, they got lucky because of the injuries. Fair enough, they got the title. So, is there a Drew Holiday type player out there who the Mavs could pursue that would have that kind of impact unloading their Eric Bledsoe in Porzingis? Porzingis, by the way, is only 26. And the injuries have been massive. Now the question is, can we find that player mired in a crap situation? I don't know. Malcolm Brogdon, probably not going to do it, and I don't see why the Pacers would trade for him, given Turner and Sabonis. But Brogdon is that, I don't think he's been an all-star, but he is a good like defensive guard who can score. I don't know if he could put up Holiday-type numbers. But is there someone else out there? Let's help. We're trying to help people, Rob. Is there someone else out there that jumps out at you as a potential difference maker?
I mean, I'm sure that you could make a move for like a CJ McCollum-level player, where a guy who's really good but is not quite an all-star. But here's the problem, though. Where the Bucks lucked out is that Chris Middleton, say what you want about his skills and his inconsistencies, he was not the one who they had to trade to get the third player. He was already established as their number two. Unless Tim Hardaway Jr. suddenly becomes a player that nobody can foresee him becoming, they're going to have to get rid of their perceived number two, which is Porzingis, and then you're still a player behind.
Well, I'm Mavs fans would argue that Hardaway passed Porzingis as the number two in the playoffs last year.
And then if that's the case, he's the worst number two in the playoffs. No offense to Tim Hardaway Jr., but you know, brutal. He's not that level of player. He knows he's not.
I mean, yeah, but in that series against I got to call up the stats, what he did against the Clippers, but he was phenomenal in that series.
Yeah, he was hot several games in that series. So was Dorian Finney-Smith had a couple of games.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Hardaway is no Middleton. No, nobody would confuse those two. He averaged, during the regular season, is that real? Yeah. 16-3-1, shot 39%. But then in the playoffs is where he really took off. And I thought he was just amazing in that series against the Clippers. I mean, he had several games where he basically could not miss 40% from three. Only 17 a game. It felt like more.
He was very impactful. His impact, I think, went beyond the box score.
So games 1 and 2, he had 21 and then 28, and he hit 11 of 17 on threes. Now, again, game 4, he pulled a Dennis Schroeder and was 1 of 8, 4 points. And in game 7, where was he? Oh, he was 1 of 9. Like, you can't, if Middleton goes 1 of 9 from three, the Bucks are not winning game 6 or whatever. It's challenging. I don't think it can't be done. This is what I love about the NBA, and I can't believe we just did 15 minutes on this, and we'll move on in a second. But, I mean, Rob, just the idea of, hey, we can look around at the cap, we can look at the players, we can see who's out there, who's disgruntled, who's gettable, and we can put up, like, listen, this is going to sound insane, but there's a lot of talk that if the Bulls don't get to the playoffs, Zach LaVine probably is gone. He's going to leave Chicago because they gave money to everybody. Now, listen, I'm as big a Zach LaVine as you'll find outside of the city of Chicago. Does he fit with Luka? I mean, catch and shoot threes, LaVine was on fire last year. He's incredible. Would he be a better two for you than
Middleton? Oh, yeah. 1,000%.
Obviously than Hardaway, but then Middleton?
Yeah,
I mean, he was an Olympian. Yeah.
He's a better player, I think, than Chris Middleton. It's just how the fit works kind of thing. But again, they don't have cap space. So unless you're able to convince Chicago to take that terrible Kristaps Porzingis contract with like seven draft picks attached to it, then sure. But then again, I think that's the only thing maybe that you and I might agree on is they are in a unique situation because part of you says, hey, he's 22. We got a lot of time to build with this guy. We just got him to this max contract. The other part of you says, no, this guy's the face of the league. We can win right now. He's that good. Let's go all in. So you're in a unique situation in Dallas.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, speaking of unique situations, and I'll be quick on this. The Lakers introduced Carmelo Anthony on Monday. Everybody was all excited. I must have seen, you know, you follow all these basketball accounts on Instagram, and I must have seen the video like 23 places. Like, people just love Carmelo, man. I personally don't get it. He never struck me as a winning player, although I was a fan, obviously, when he got to the Knicks. And it prompted me to do a deeper dive into the Lakers. Folks, this is going to startle you a little bit, but everybody's just calling the Lakers old. They're fossils. I joked on Undisputed the Lakers would lead the league in cholesterol. LeVar Arrington kind of fell out of his chair. But I do want to point out, if you look at the 98 Bulls, Jordan's last championship team, okay? Remember Drake going back-to-back like I'm Jordan, 96, 97? Well, the 98 team is kind of forgotten, okay? Because they didn't win 69 games in the regular season and dust everybody in the playoffs. They struggled. You know why? Because they were old! Go look it up on Basketball Reference. Are you ready? And this is per the age on Basketball Reference. Jordan was 34. Rodman was 36. Ron Harper was 34. Scottie Pippen was 32. Those are their core four. Tony Kukoc was also in there, 29. The nine-man rotation that the Bulls played had one guy who was 27 or younger, and his name was Scott Burrell, who everybody knows from UConn. Haha, just kidding. Everybody knows The Last Dance because Jordan just relentlessly tormented the guy. Okay, he was the only one 27 or younger, and he was 27. The Lakers, they do have some old dudes. Melo, 37. Ariza, 36. By the way, those guys are not starters. Okay, just for the record. But if you look at the Lakers' core starters, LeBron, 36. Gasol, 36. Russ, 32. Bazemore, 32. Dwight Howard, 35. So yes, the Lakers are older. Undeniable. Older than the Bulls. The Lakers, by all accounts, are going to be the oldest team in NBA history. I'm just pointing out, a lot has changed in the last 25 years, how players take care of their bodies. We know that players are playing much longer now than they did in the 90s. Go look when Isaiah Thomas retired. Go look when Larry Bird retired. Folks, LeBron is 36. Michael Jordan had quit basketball twice. Okay? Quit twice by the time he came to be 36 years old, okay? And I know Rob's snickering at quit. People hate when I do that. Okay? Yes, I know he retired twice. I like to say quit because he quit. He walked away. And by the way, those Bulls were on a third straight run to the finals. So tack on those 20 extra playoff games times three. Oh, yeah. It's heavy. Look at them now. With the load management league now? I mean, Carmelo's 37. When was the last time he got out of the first round of the playoffs? Trevor Ariza, as he's been at some playoff runs, not recently. Gasol kind of splits minutes with Dwight Howard. Oh, I forgot. Anthony Davis is not in his late 30s or mid-30s or even early 30s. How old is Anthony Davis, Rob? 29?
28.
28. Come on. Anthony Davis, 28. I'm just saying, stop freaking out about the age. And oh, yeah, by the way, Kendrick Nunn, who may start at some games, I don't know, 26. Malik Monk, my guy, 23. Like, yes, the Lakers are old, but those 98 Bulls were really old too, folks. I think the Lakers are going to be fine. Rob, any thoughts on the old Lakers?
I'm very confident in the Lakers. I think they're going to be easily the best team in the West. And I just think it's funny that everybody points out the Lakers' age. And you know, they are old. I'm not going to say they're not. But conveniently leaves out that the Miami Heat, who everybody thought had a great offseason with the additions of Kyle Lowry and P.J. Tucker. Kyle Lowry, 35. P.J. Tucker, 36. And they're not like, you know, Carmelo Anthony, Trevor Ariza, 36, where they're, you know, bit players on this roster. Like, yeah. These guys are going to be playing 35 plus minutes a night. And that's in addition to Jimmy Butler, who I believe is still in his early 30s. But Jimmy Butler, correct me if I'm wrong, led the league in minutes played for Chicago for like five straight years.
Yeah, Thibodeau drove him into the ground.
So if you're going to say those things about the Lakers' age, and it's fair, but just make sure that you keep the same energy across the NBA with teams like Miami.
I want to wrap up with a quick quarterback controversy. I don't know if you guys have seen it. Oh, wait, one more Laker joke that just hit me. There are statues outside of Staples that are younger than players on the Lakers roster currently.
Wow.
Ba-donch! all right, so... quarterback controversy, and this is a very confusing one for me. I will note, I wrote a piece for Fox Sports. I think it dropped Friday or Thursday. Teams, when you rank their Super Bowl futures value, 1 to 32, and I said the best value was had by the 49ers, +1400. I could make a deep argument. We'll save it as we get closer to the season. I like the 49ers a lot this year. Bouncing back from the injuries. The talent is immense. I mean, literally, they were the most injured team in the league last year. It's not even particularly close. I guess the Eagles were kind of close and the Cowboys. But trust me, the 49ers, when I eventually rattle off that it was their quarterback, both running backs, their top tight end, their all three receivers, like, it was ugly. Like, all three of their defensive ends were toast, done for the year by, like, week five. Now, it's unbelievable. They have a quarterback controversy. Because Kyle Shanahan, who I believe for the first week and a half gave Trey Lance one snap with the first team, has decided this week he's going to put in packages for Trey Lance. Now, I don't know if that's going to disturb whatever equilibrium. I think that's the first time that word's been said on this podcast. I don't know what it's going to do, but I found an analogy. Are you ready for this? And I'm beating everybody to the punch on this analogy. I'm just saying, I'm bullish on the Niners this year. I like Jimmy G a lot. Remember, when he's healthy as a starter with the Niners, 22-8. He's good. He's very good. If you remember Mike Vick, he was drafted by the Falcons, number one overall, out of Virginia Tech. Mike Vick goes to the Falcons. Chris Chandler is the starter. Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Chris Chandler. Although I believe Chris Chandler also did go to a Super Bowl. I want to say he did in the 90s. And they got smashed by somebody.
They got smashed by the Denver Broncos, I believe.
Was it Broncos? Was it the 49ers that killed them, or the 49ers?
No, because it was the one that Ephraim Salam, friend of the show, played in.
49ers, that's right.
He was the right tackle for the Atlanta Falcons in that game.
That's right. Was it one of the Terrell Davis ones?
Yes.
Now you're going to make me look it up. But bottom line, Chris Chandler was an okay quarterback. They just didn't want to throw Mike Vick at 21, fresh out of college, into the mix as the starter. 1998, Chris Chandler was the starting quarterback for the Dirty Birds, and the Broncos smashed them 34-19. Yeah, correct. Good call, Rob G. That's why you're here.
Thank you.
But Mike Vick didn't just sit there like Pat Mahomes for 15 games and then start the final game and then the next season play. Okay? Mike Vick had packages built. He appeared in 8 games. Not every game, but he appeared frequently. I think that's going to be the plan. My guess is that's going to be the plan for Trey Lance. Now, people are going to roll their eyes. Oh, the Wildcat, and they're going to do the read option and all this nonsense. Like, Kyle Shanahan's a pretty friggin' smart guy. Maybe not in the fourth quarter or the second halves of Super Bowls, but he's very intelligent. Kyle Shanahan is a very smart guy. Excellent coach. I mean, yeah, his offense kind of gagged away the Super Bowl to Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback ever. And, his offense kind of did the same thing against the Chiefs. But the defense matters. You know, defense wasn't very good in either of those games, second half. I'm not comparing Trey Lance to Mike Vick. That would be asinine. I was a monster Mike Vick fan. I covered his first game in college football. I work with him at Fox. Not frequently, but I see him around. He's a super nice guy. I'm like a Mike Vick fan. I'm ambivalent on Trey Lance because I think Garoppolo's good, unlike a lot of people.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Rob, I think one of the spiciest storylines is if Jimmy G does not get healthy and they make a run to the Super Bowl, how hard is it going to be to dump him? Or if they win the Super Bowl. Now, I think we could both agree, any other, like, you lose in the first round, hey, man, oh, well, it happened. Alex Smith went to the playoffs, lost in the first round, and they dumped him, and Patrick Mahomes, and the rest is history. Like, I just, what do you do, Rob? I'm thinking way ahead. We're 5 months ahead. I mean, I'm kind of rooting for chaos because it's good for this podcast. It's good for my business. It's good for your business too, Rob. I mean, you do radio, yes, so you know it. It would just be pretty phenomenal if Jimmy G could get on that magic carpet ride. I can't think of a quarterback who's ever been dumped after winning a Super Bowl for someone else, right? Peyton Manning rode off into the sunset. John Elway rode off into the sunset.
Trent Dilfer.
He was dumped?
Yes, for Alvis Gerback.
No way.
Yes. But then again, that Ravens offense was not exactly humming, you know, as they would say. Let me just say this. If they have to resort to the Mike Vick package, you know, for Trey Lance, I have a hard time imagining that they're winning many games.
Oh, come on. Winning many games?
Yeah. Well, at the clip that you would suggest that they're going to win a Super Bowl.
I think they have the seventh best Super Bowl odds.
Well, if the way this hypothetical is set up is what happens to Jimmy G if they become a Super Bowl contender or if they win the Super Bowl, I don't think that they are a Super Bowl contending team, or if Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing so well that you would never take him off the field. Because as the old saying goes, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
You don't have any. Right. Okay, this is crazy. So I didn't even realize this. So I just looked up the Trent Dilfer thing. First of all, he wasn't the starter the full season.
No, it was Tony Banks. Right?
Wow. So I just noticed Dilfer went 7-1 down the stretch. So looks like the starter was, oh my gosh, it was Tony Banks.
Yes.
So was he benched or was he injured?
He got hurt. No, he got hurt and Trent Dilfer took over.
I know we got a lot of Baltimore Ravens fans out there. So Trent Dilfer goes 7-1, and they dump him, and then he lands in Seattle. It looks like it's a backup. Yeah, I don't think anybody considers Jimmy Garoppolo on the Trent Dilfer level. I think everybody would agree. Bill Belichick drafted him, and the 49ers gave him a big, big money deal. I think most people would agree. Jimmy Garoppolo is he a top 20 quarterback in the league, Rob?
No.
Whoa, what?
He's not healthy enough.
Okay. He's not healthy right enough. Now, everybody's healthy. Is he a top 20 quarterback? I mean, everybody's
sure,
healthy.
Sure. If he's healthy.
Who would you rather have, Jimmy Garoppolo or any of the three guys in Chicago?
Oh, God. Jimmy Garoppolo. That's a low bar. Come on, man.
The Bears went to the playoffs last year with the combination of Trubisky and, I think, Foles.
Yeah.
If you were the Saints, would you rather have Jameis Winston or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Jameis Winston.
I can't believe you just said,
dude,
really?
Jimmy Garoppolo is wildly mediocre. If your coach, who is a quarterback guru, is only trusting you to throw the ball 8 times in a playoff game, that kind of tells me all you need to know about him.
This is one of the weird things in the industry. I've gone back and forth on Garoppolo, and I remember using that 8 passes against him. As like a, well, is he really built for it? And now I've just got to resort, and I know quarterback wins is a silly stat, but I don't know. Do you want to see his touchdown to interception ratio when healthy? Do you want to see his completion percentage, his QBR? Like, I mean, the guy had four fourth quarter comebacks the year they went to the Super Bowl, tied for the league lead, according to Pro Football Reference. Like, Garoppolo's pretty damn good, dude. I don't know how you say it.
You know who else has stats like that? Is Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm sure he has a lot of comfort behind stats.
He has one like every 3 or 4 years he shows up. Stop.
Yeah, but that's exactly what happened to Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo had one every 3 or 4 years.
I have a feeling. Oof. Let me go through and we'll wrap up on this. I'll go through the standings, and you tell me, would you rather have Jimmy Garoppolo starting this year or whoever they have? Okay. Philadelphia Eagles. Jalen Hurts, who, by the way, has looked like dog shit, apparently, in training camp so far. Jalen Hurts or Jimmy G?
Jimmy G.
This one's going to hurt. Tua or Jimmy G?
Tua.
Oh, I totally disagree. I'm out. I'm not a fan of Tua. Cam Newton or Jimmy G?
Jimmy G.
I'm not going to denigrate the Jets and mention what's-his-face. Let's see. Tennessee. I guess Tannehill's playing well. Oh, here we go. Colts. Carson Wentz, Jacob Eason, or Jimmy G?
Well, Carson Wentz is hurt, so I can't count Carson Wentz. Jimmy G, by default, because Carson Wentz is hurt.
Houston Texans, who, according to one guy who's covered the team forever, I'm spacing on his name, Deshaun Watson will never play a down for the Texans. So that leaves, Tyrod Taylor or Jimmy G.
That would be Tyrod Taylor. Shout out to Hard Knocks, and I would roll with Jimmy G.
Okay, Denver Broncos. They don't know who they're going to start, Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater or Jimmy G.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, stop it. I think what's troubling Rob is I said is he a top 20 quarterback, and he was like, no. And now we've already gone through like six teams in the AFC, and we're like,
look,
oh,
man,
shit.
Jimmy G is the definition of mediocre.
What about, so what's Derek Carr?
Derek Carr is much better than Jimmy G. Jimmy G is playing with the quarterback whisperer. Remember, what everyone says about Kyle Shanahan.
No way on planet Earth am I giving Teddy Bridgewater the nod over Jimmy G. This is a layup. Danny Dimes or Jimmy G?
Jimmy G.
Fitz Tragic or Jimmy G? Don't.
How many games do I have to win?
Stop it. You got your best chance to win, man.
Fitzpatrick.
Bears already went through. Oh, how about Jared Goff or Jimmy G?
Shoot.
See, it sounds like Jimmy G's garbage. There's a lot of teams where he would be the starter. I'm not even kidding. Yeah. Or at least contend for the starter.
I guess 20 might be the right number for you. I think
Sam Darnold?
Right then.
Sam Darnold or Jimmy G?
Oh, Jimmy G.
I know everybody hates Darnold. I won't talk about Kirk Cousins. we've got a moratorium on no more Kirk Cousins comments. All right, Rob, I'm going to wrap up with this. This is not sports, and I buried it late because I don't want like the weirdo mob to come after me. This is a real paragraph from the New York Times on Monday. One employee said she was concerned because she thought a vaccine had caused the characters in the film I Am Legend to turn into zombies. People opposed to vaccines have circulated that claim about the movie's plot widely on social media. But the plague that turned people into zombies in the movie was caused by a genetically reprogrammed virus, not by a vaccine. Rob, I just want you to wrap your head around that being an actual paragraph in the New York Times in 2021. Have you done that now? Have you?
Yes.
Have you done that? Okay. Folks, we're gonna close out on that. I don't want Rob laughing. I do not. I'm not adding any commentary. I'm just going to let that lay. I'm just going to put it out there. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.